Good morning and greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. That was a rather glowing introduction, probably a bit more glowing than the reality. But as you can see, Anthony and I are close. He's my kind of like my big brother in more ways than one. I mean, he's quite a bit bigger than I am. And I just began to work for him at the age of 14, and I think it was actually more like 15 years that we worked together. And so to this day, I'm still using a lot of the tools. He just kind of left and said, I'm going and don't know when I'll be back. And so I've just kept working with what he left me, and it's been a great blessing to have benefited from all he's taught me. So I was telling several people, it feels like I've been kind of bringing up the kind of the tail end of things. I was always the final class of the day, and now I guess I'm preaching the last message. So the young people here have had to listen to me after they've listened to everyone else and probably felt pretty tired, and maybe they got a bit weary, but I have really, really enjoyed our time here. It has been a blessing. It has been, I guess in the States, I don't know if you use this here much, but we say a shot in the arm. You know, it's just time of encouragement and going home now with a desire to serve the Lord even more than I had before. I was thinking a little bit about our experiences the last 2 weeks. I've had a number of good conversations with many of you, young people. I've really appreciated your zeal for the Lord. Had a few of you mentioning some things in life that you're looking forward to. Some of you will be going home to normal life, I suppose, if there is such a thing as normal life. Some of you are facing a time of transition. We heard a few names this morning already that they're planning to go to something a little different. And I was just reminded, I was thinking about some of the things that I'll be needing to face when I get home. There'll be some really good things about going home. There'll be some challenges getting back into work again, laying brick in 95-degree weather. I'm not sure I'm really looking forward to that. But I was just reminded, and I've been reminded this past 2 weeks, of how much I need to lean on the Lord. Without Him, I couldn't do any of what He's called me to do. And how important it is that all of us look to the Lord for His direction. And so I've been thinking a lot about the voice of God. I'm not going to talk about Joseph this morning. We've talked about him for 2 weeks. Some of you weren't here, but some of you might be about Joseph'd out. The mud tender I have working for me, he said, are you about finished with Joseph yet? Are you about wore out with Joseph? I said, well, no, I'm not. I actually intend to teach the class again in the near future. But this morning we want to look at another Old Testament character. And I asked my class, I don't know how many days ago it was, just several days ago, a question about the voice of God. And I have several questions for you this morning before we turn to our text, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. First of all, do you feel in need of God's direction this morning? I suppose every hand here would probably go up. I trust it would. Yes, we do feel in need of God's direction. Do you at times wish the future was a bit clearer? Yeah, there's some of you here. Does it feel at times that God is silent when you really wish He would say something? In your experience, what does God's voice sound like? That's been a question I've been thinking about a lot. God has spoken to me. I know He has. I mean, He gave me this message. I was stressing a little bit because I was planning to preach a message that I'd preached before, and the more I thought about that, the less that just wasn't working. So I said, well, God, if I'm going to preach a new message, I'm feeling a little wore out. You're going to have to. So if this message is a little rough around the edges, understand that I was typing as fast as I could yesterday. It feels like it's still pretty new. The Bible says quite a lot about the voice of God. I'm not going to turn to these passages, but Psalm 29 compares the voice of the Lord to thunder. It says the voice of the Lord is, I think, like on many waters or something like that. It says the voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Have you heard the voice of the Lord like that? Has he thundered at you? I'm not sure that he has to me that often. But there's another voice that we hear about. You know, Elijah, when he was in that cave, he was running away from Jezebel. There were some really amazing things that happened outside that cave. I think there was an earthquake. I didn't really read all the different things. But it says after each of these things, it says the Lord wasn't in those things. And then it says there was a still small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he covered his face because he knew it was the voice of God. And so I believe that God can thunder at us at times, but I believe he also speaks in a still small voice. And we need to be listening if we're going to hear it. Let's turn now to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's a very familiar passage, but I found it really fascinating to study yesterday, looking at Samuel as a young boy, considering that Eli was an old man who had served the Lord all his life. But who did the Lord speak to and why? What was the message that the Lord had? And what did Samuel do with that message? Let's begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Notice he called his name. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restraineth them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay down until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also if thou hide any thing from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, by the word of the Lord. Just to set bring the setting here a little bit, I love to do that. Sometimes I get a little carried away. I would love to do a deeper dive into the life of Samuel. Fascinating character that I don't feel like I know a lot about. But Samuel was just, I don't know how young he was at this point. If you recall, Samuel was the son of Elkanah and Hannah. Elkanah was a Levite who lived in Ephraim, and his mother Hannah was a devout woman who had been childless, and she promised the Lord that if he would give her a child, she would give this child back to him. And she promised him that this child would never cut his hair. Is that something you knew about Samuel? He was a Nazarite. He never cut his hair. We often think of Samson in that way, but Samuel didn't either, and I suppose that meant he didn't drink wine. And when he was weaned, she brought him to the temple. And I had to wonder how Eli felt about that. I mean, there's a sense in which Eli became an adoptive father for Samuel. Here's this young boy, very young. But we see here that Eli and Samuel had what seems to be a close relationship. I don't know what Eli's relation was with his other sons, but they weren't living the way that they should have been. And Eli calls Samuel his son several times, and Samuel was very attentive to Eli's needs. So we see Samuel, and it says, ere the lamp of God, let's see, where does it say that? Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple, so it gives the idea that before dawn, when the lamps were extinguished, God calls Samuel. What did God's voice sound like to Samuel? It sounded like Eli's voice, didn't it? Did it sound exactly like Eli? I don't know, but clearly it was enough like Eli that that's who Samuel thought it was. And so he jumped up, he runs to Eli. Eli says, it wasn't me. And this happens three times. And Samuel had no idea who was talking to him. He didn't know who the Lord was. But Eli, you know, he's probably very tired, right? He's an old man, can't see well, trying to get his rest. But after three times, he realizes, this is the Lord that's going to speak to Samuel. So he told Samuel, you go back and lay down, and when he calls again, you answer. It doesn't seem that Eli had any question in his mind that the Lord would call again. Did Eli have any idea what the Lord would say? I would tend to believe that he had a premonition, because the next morning, he told Samuel, you must tell me what the Lord told you. Samuel didn't want to. Would you have wanted to? I wouldn't have wanted to. It was a very difficult message. And I'm a little conflicted about Eli's response. I can appreciate that he accepted the word of the Lord. He did not shoot the messenger, as we would say. He didn't turn on Samuel because, you know, you brought me a bad message. But I'm not sure that it really changed anything. Seems like he just said, well, this is how it's going to be. We don't see him weeping or maybe fully even understanding the consequences. But because of Samuel's faithfulness, we see at the beginning of the chapter, it says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And it brings to mind that God's word was rare. Why was it rare? We have Eli, who'd been a priest all his life. His sons, I don't know how old they were at this point, but they were in charge of temple worship. But when we get to the end of the chapter, it says the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. It seems like the word of the Lord was happening more often. That revelation was happening more often. So that's the story. Now I'd like to just talk about, I think I have four main points here about the voice of the Lord and what we can learn from this story. I know there have been times in my life, and I would say I'm still there to a certain extent, that there are things that I wish that God would make clearer for me. But I also can look back and I can see those times where God did make something clear. It took some time. Maybe I was waiting and I felt like God was silent and then he came through. I don't know how you as young people find it. You're at that stage of life where, you know, there's so many possibilities, so many opportunities, and you're just getting started, and where's God going to take me? And I've kind of heard that question coming through in a few of my conversations. But these are a few questions that I have had when I am really longing to hear from God. These are not exhaustive. It's just a list of things questions that came to me. First of all, how do I prepare my heart to hear God's voice? God spoke to Samuel here, but he did not speak to Eli. Why does it seem that God is silent when I'm needing to hear from him, perhaps most desperately? Another question that I wrestle with at times, what if God is speaking and I'm not able to hear him? Have you ever wondered about that? Well, I think God is trying to say something to me, but I must not be hearing it. Have you ever had the experience of God telling you something that you didn't want to hear? I feel like God might be leading me this way, but I really would prefer not to go there. I don't know how many of you have had that experience, but I've had those experiences. We may feel certain that God is leading in a certain direction, and then circumstances change, and there's a closed door, and now I'm confused. What was God wanting? My first point here, I guess what struck me first of all as I read through this story, was the fact that Samuel did not even know God. He did not even know what God's voice sounded like. And he did not respond correctly the first, well, in a way he did, because he went to Eli, but he really did not respond to God until God called him four times. So this morning, if you are struggling with the fear that you may be missing something God is trying to say to you, or it feels like God isn't talking and you wish that he was, I want to comfort you with this truth that I believe is always true, even at times when it doesn't feel true. It's what I feel I can guarantee to you. And that is this: God will communicate with a heart that is ready to listen. Now that can sound like quite a mouthful. He will communicate with a heart that is ready to listen. I believe the important thing for us is not to be so concerned that we're experienced enough to hear God's voice, wise enough to hear God's voice, doing everything just right. I think the most important thing for us is that our heart is prepared to hear whatever God says. And once we get to that place, he is going to communicate. Now, well, that's another point. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Rick Rhodes says it like this. He says, we need to say yes to God before we know what he has to say to us. If we say, well, God, tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll say yes. Or maybe, no. I think this story brings out that God may not have much to say. But if we say, God, I want to hear what you have to say to me. I'm longing to hear it. I can't wait to hear it. I'm excited to hear it. Whatever it is, I recognize that your message may not be an easy one. After all, we're in a battlefield, we're not on a playground. But I can't wait to hear what that message is. God will come through. Jesus said this, therefore I speak to them in parables because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. I used to wrestle with that verse. Was Jesus trying to be secretive? Was he trying to say things in a way that were confusing? Well, if you look at who actually understood his parables, it really came down to the people that simply asked him, now, what did you mean? See, Jesus, he was revealing truth in these parables, but that truth would never be understood by someone that didn't care or that wasn't willing to pursue it. So I don't think we need to be so concerned that we will recognize God's voice when it comes. Because if he knows that we want to hear him, he'll make sure to come through. I had an experience that was really encouraging to me. It was a young man from our congregation. He had been asked to go somewhere, and he said, and you know, he was living with his widowed mother, and he felt a real sense of responsibility at home. But he also felt a desire to serve God, and he just was wrestling with this thing. What should I do? What should I do? I need direction. And I told him essentially what I just told you was that, look, just, you know, be sincere in your desire to hear what God has to say. Pursue God. Spend time with him. Pray. Ask counsel. You know, and God will, he'll reveal it to you. You'll know what to do. And sometimes when you give that, you know, it's easy to say, and then sometimes when you give a young man that advice, you're like, God, please come through. You know, please come through. Don't let him down. And I can still remember he came to me One night he said, hey, I want to drop in. And he dropped by and he said, Adam, you won't believe this. He said, I've heard of this before. But he said, God has revealed to me so clearly what I'm supposed to do. And he was so excited about that. He just couldn't get over it. And God had told him that it's his will for him to pursue this ministry that he'd been called to. And so that's what he's doing currently. That was a faith booster for me. It really was. Now you might say, well, why hasn't God, spelled it out for me like that? I don't know if that's how you're feeling or not. But keep listening. I can understand why you asked that question. All that to say, God does come through. Let's talk briefly about when God seems silent. John Lennox wrote a book on Joseph, and I'm just going to bring a quote in from him here this morning. Actually, I have a few. He said, God never, at least we don't see recorded that God ever spoke to Joseph like he did to Abraham, to Jacob. Now, we know he interpreted dreams, but we don't really read that he spoke directly in the way he did to the other patriarchs. He said Joseph served a God who was mostly silent. Now, is that really true? We don't know for sure. But I'd like to remind us of several things. First of all, when God seems silent, we do well to remember that God has spoken. Right? He has already spoken. God does not usually speak to us in an audible voice. He usually speaks to us through his word. And so my question to you this morning, if God seems silent, and I understand that sometimes how it feels, what are you doing with what he has already revealed? Because Eli had already been spoken to by God, and he was ignoring it. And so God wasn't speaking to him anymore. Well, he was still speaking to him through other people. Just a few points on this. John 10 tells us, the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. How do they know it? Because they hear it every day, right? Do you want to hear God's voice? Well, immerse yourself in what he's already spoken. Bible reading, memorization, prayer, meditation. We've been practicing these things at Bible school. How familiar am I with God's voice? Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I used to think that this verse meant that if we live pure lives, we'll see God in heaven, which I believe it does. But I also have come across another interpretation that's been a blessing. And that is that if we are pure in heart, God will reveal himself to us. We will begin to see God in places we never saw him before. The ungodly man can look around and he doesn't see God at all. There's no God. But the godly person, and by the way, that pure heart is not because of us. It's a result of us yielding to Christ, right? It's his work. But as he purifies our heart, and we're looking for him now, we start to see him. We see him. Several cautions. Be sure that there's nothing in your life that God has revealed that is between you and him. If there's sin there, if there's something that is wrong, if it's clear, and you're ignoring that, but you wish that God wasn't so silent. And I would like to also comfort you with this fact. If there is something there, don't worry that you might not know it. I think Eli was very clear. He should have been very clear. If you read the prophecy that came to him before Samuel spoke to him, Old Testament prophets were not known for political correctness. If an Old Testament prophet came to you and said something to you, when he left, you knew what God thought about it, you knew what you had done wrong, and you knew what you had better be doing. And that was true in this case as well. And so God is faithful to reveal those things to us. Another thing, and I think this may be very relevant in our day and age, is that if I want to hear God's voice, I must guard against distractions that could drown it out. I'm a Bible school teacher, I'm a deacon at home, but you know that I love to listen to things. I love to learn things. And some days I can just be listening to things and reading things. I can be so distracted. And at the end of the day, I'm like, well, did I give God any time to say anything to me today? Because we can drown out the voice of God. And he's saying something. He's saying something, but it's that still small voice and we just can't hear him. It's not God's fault. Now, I think that's all I'll say for now about the silence of God. But let's also remember that God speaks to us in a variety of ways. Now, we could have whole sermons on some of these points, and I need to move quickly. I'm not even sure when I'm supposed to quit. Anthony, when am I supposed to quit? No, don't say that. Give me a time. 10 minutes? All right. Like I said, some of these young people have heard me say a lot already, okay? They're ready for me to be quiet. But God speaks to us in a variety of ways. And I think we all know that, right? We understand that God doesn't always just shout from the sky at us. Even though we might prefer that he would speak to us a little more clearly. God, just a little more clarity. What if God speaks to you through that brother or sister that you think of as maybe a little too pious for their own good? Can you hear it then? What if he speaks to you through, the preacher? What if he speaks to you through the voice of your conscience and you just kind of, I don't care to listen to that? Several things in the way God speaks to us. If we're willing to listen to any way he can speak, and this kind of goes back to my former point. I'm sorry, these points are a little scrambled because I was typing as fast as I could go. But I believe that God's silence can actually communicate quite a lot to a faithful follower. And God can speak to that person through a variety of ways because they are just waiting to hear. See, we're back to that thing of waiting to hear. They don't really care how it comes. Is God telling you to wait? Who here likes to wait? I don't. Unless I know I'm waiting for something that might be kind of scary. I don't mind to wait so much then, but generally I don't prefer to wait. Is he telling you that, you know, Adam, you're right where I want you to be. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know, there's this opportunity in India that, you know, wow, this would be an exotic adventure, but no, I just want you to stay right here and do what you're doing. During that time of waiting, what might feel like waiting, that's not wasted time, by the way. Is he preparing you for future ministry? I had a friend ask me an interesting question one time. He said, does God call the equipped or does he equip the called? Ever thought about that? Well, I kind of always like to think that, you know, God will call me and then since he's called me, he just has to equip me. And I think it's true. I think it is certainly true that when God calls us, he gives us the grace to do whatever he asks of us. But I wonder sometimes if it hasn't been a little bit of spiritual laziness on my part, what if in that time of waiting, I was actually, maybe I had a dream of a ministry or something that God, I felt called to, but there's no opportunity yet. Could I possibly start equipping for that? Now, I think you need to be careful there that you don't put God in a box and say, okay, now I've done all this work to prepare for this ministry, so now you have to, you know, this is what I have to do now. But think about that, especially you as young people. You know, your talents, are you growing those talents? Even though maybe you're not, you haven't yet been called, but you know God's going to use you some way. So I have an opportunity. Maybe I can take a public speaking class at Bible school, you know. You young men, you may well be preachers someday. Would there be anything wrong with taking a public speaking class? Would there be anything wrong with taking a ministry class where you're learning to relate with others, share the gospel? I don't believe so. All right, we must move on. I think God also wants us to make decisions based on the principles he's given us, and his spirit can guide us in this process. John Lennox says that we should not give in to the temptation to expect God to make our decisions for us. So back to this thing of silence or clarity. I think many times God, he sets the stage. He gives us opportunities. He gives us open doors. We have his word. We have counsel around us. But we would like something just a little more. God, could you just, okay, I'm going to be on the beach tomorrow, and I want this little finger to appear, and Adam, you are supposed to do this in 20 minutes. Well, it's not going to happen, right? And I'm over-exaggerating the point, but I have found myself there where I want so much clarity, and I think God's just saying, Adam, you know what you're supposed to do. Make the best decision based on what you know. And I believe that if God knows that I am striving to make the very best choice, he loves to bless that. He can redirect. If I do something that's not quite, I mean, he's had to many a time, even in my ministry, I can tell you, he's had to say, let's do that a little differently. And it's okay. He can do that for us. Remember that God often communicates through faithful Christians around us. Even the Apostle Paul was sent by the church at Antioch. God communicates to us individually, but he communicates through his body as well. And remember that no matter what medium God uses, it must always agree with his word. You just have to have that clear. You know, even the church at times may say something that's not right. A group of people. Now, I'm not encouraging you to ignore what the church says. But just remember that no matter what God says, whether it be through the church, through a brother, through his spirit, through your conscience, it always must agree with his word. I had a story. Well, yeah, I've got time to tell it. So, I had a friend that was so convinced he was called to minister to a people group. He was so convinced that as a young man, he learned the language. He learned to eat what they like to eat. I believe he went to the country itself. He was reading the Bible in that language. And he was a little younger than I was. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, I'm just, you know, I read the Bible and I work. And why haven't I been called like that? I just felt a little frustrated. You know, here's this young man with this tremendous calling. But as we got to talking about it, several times he made it clear that he's frustrated that other people aren't supporting him in what he's been called to do. They're just not, the church is just not behind him the way he wishes they would be. And I started having little alarm bells going off. You know, today that young man is not in the church anymore. Now, I think he's still a Christian. I believe that he is. Incidentally, he's not that young anymore either. He's about my age, but he left his congregation. He left Anabaptism. I don't know that he's ministering to this people group. Maybe he is. I had one young lady tell me that her and her husband were called to the mission field, but then the church ordained him, and he had to come home. Now, should they have done that? That's a whole conversation. But that's just not what God called them to do. Well, incidentally, they are no longer doing it. But I don't know that they're on the mission field either. Do you see how this thing, it's not about what I want to do. It is about what God wants me to do. If we can get a hold of that, you have the point of my message. Not my message, God's message. Let's remember in closing that God's message may not be the message that I anticipated or even desired. Samuel did not like this message. It was a hard message. God said, because Eli has been ignoring me, now we understand that no parent can force their children to serve the Lord. But Eli was in charge of temple worship. And he had put his sons as the ones in charge of this. You know, they were the ones doing it. He was too old anymore. Eli had a responsibility to remove them from the temple. And he didn't do it. And God said, you have ignored me. See, young people, you should be concerned about the voice of God because you do not ever want to find yourself ignoring it. Very, very dangerous thing to do. But are you willing to just take any message that he gives you? Are you willing to take any directive? The Apostle Paul wanted to go to Asia. Did he need to go to Asia? Well, I think later he did. But God said, go to Macedonia. He goes to Macedonia, gets thrown into prison. But it's where God wanted him to be. So circumstances can give direction, but don't read too much into them. Samuel was faithful in hearing and communicating God's message. Because of this, we are told the Lord was with him, and the Lord continued to reveal himself to Samuel. So I want to assure you today, young person, old person, whoever you are, God wants to reveal himself to you. Are you listening? Will you accept what he says? Let's stand for prayer.